February 6, 2024. Lessons for serving. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Matthew 10, 40 through 42. Now, there are three lessons in this passage that I think may help and encourage us. They are lessons in relation to serving, which is very popular among church people. We want to know how we can serve. But what are the benefits? What are the encouragements? Because we hear this a lot in Sunday morning service. You need to be serving. But what if everyone else isn't? What's going to keep you motivated? Because that's always a discouragement, isn't it? Everyone else not quite doing what they need to be doing. And then there's just a select few doing all of it. Well, maybe you will be extra excited after you hear this passage. There's very encouraging lessons here. Not just for those who do a lot of things, but this may be shocking for those who do what they can, which may not be a lot. Yeah, they have their warnings, these passages, but they are full of sweetness. So I want to share them with you. Lesson number one. To receive their words is to receive Christ. It says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So the first lesson is the importance of the word of God. In this passage, Jesus is talking to the men who would be the beginning of the church. They would receive the Holy Spirit and pen the New Testament. They were given the keys of the kingdom, able to say what's right and wrong. They wrote down as they were carried along by the Spirit, and they completed the canon of Scripture, the Word of God. To receive them, that's who he's talking about, is to receive God himself. But to reject them is to reject God himself. This is a severe caution. If you are listening or reading, and you reject what these men are saying, when you read, when you hear, you are in deep danger. To reject the word of God is to reject Christ and his Father. It's to reject the very words of God. Don't do this. Consider their words and cling to the book. We need to be, as Matt Chandler said, creatures of the book. We must read it. We must know it. We must embrace it. This is a simple lesson, and I'm sure you know it. But do we believe it? Are we reading every day? Is it important to us more than food? Are we soaking our minds with the things that praise it? Are we memorizing it, treasuring it? It's the word of God. When it comes to serving, we have the highest job of any other creature. We are working for a king, working next to a king. We are being like our Savior. He came as a servant. Don't let go of the Word of God and always be diligent in your love for it. Because it is the highest honor of any creature. No other creature can read and understand and have a mission like that given from the Word of God. So think on this. Number one, to receive their words is to receive Christ. You are serving, but you are serving a king, not the people necessarily around you, mainly. Lesson number two, the lesson of partnership. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So we must see the lesson plainly here. What we endure, or what we endorse, we support as though we did it ourselves. This is important in many situations. When you are serving, you are partaking in something much larger than yourself. In the church, it shows us that where we offer help, we also reap from the work being done. If we support a missionary, we ourselves reap a missionary's reward. If we support a pastor and body, we take part in the reward and the work accomplished. But not just that. If we take in our brothers and sisters, we also reap a reward. All the work done is considered partnership. This isn't a one-man show. All work is noticed, and all work is grouped. Have you ever noticed that when he sends out the disciples in this passage, they're all grouped? It's this guy and his brother, this guy and his brother, this guy and his brother. That's important. That's something to think on. Serving isn't a one-man show. Serving is a body show. There are no superhero mindsets here. Some are the hands, and some are the arms, and some are the intestines. Some are the eyes, and some are the ears, but all are the same body, and all reap from that partnership. Our Lord is extremely generous, and more than that, extremely attentive to every detail, big and small. If you are helping in a wheelchair, and all you can do is hold the door open, believe you are noticed. If not by anybody else, you are noticed by Christ himself. If you are only able to support men and women around you by prayer, maybe you're bedridden, you are noticed. What a lesson to embrace. So many are just regular Joes. I know we go to church and we think, wow, that person's really spiritual. He really does a lot, but he's one guy, and he's not the main focus. There's regular Joes, and they're trying to help the productive. That's what it seems like. But be sure, if you support in the way you can, you will not be unrecognized. Sure, you may be unrecognized by those around you, because people flock to the fancy, the exciting. They love to be entertained. They don't see the guy holding the door open as anything significant. But we have to see that serving is so diverse to Christ. Don't ever be discouraged if you hear you need to serve, especially if you are doing all you can within your limits. I'm not promoting a slothful attitude. Don't hear that. But not every service is showy. We must have a level view of our serving, or we promote competition and not love. We may put burdens on men that don't need burdens put on them. So we must be careful. But there's also the opposite side that must be kept in mind. What we endorse apart from the body must also be considered with much caution. You see, the movies we rent, the things we buy, the places we visit. What are we partnering with in these things? Do we think on that? I don't want to put emphasis where the text doesn't put emphasis, but we must be cautious in what we buy, or where we are, or what we're behind. To put our money towards things that promote wickedness is a dangerous thing to do. So, lesson number two, the lesson of partnership. Lesson number three, and lastly, the smallest service for Christ is not unnoticed. And we kind of just covered part of that, but there's more. See, it says, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You see, there are those who work in the shadows, the wheelchair guy, the deaf guy, the blind guy, the little lady who can't do much. We always hear of the large and the open. We see the preachers and plaster them all over for all to see. What's the internet full of? Is it full of the door holder? No, it's full of the preachers. And I think this is a great downfall. Sure, preachers have much to say and they are very important. But there are many of the unseen. Because many of the unseen have done more work than any famous speaker or preacher. There are pastors in third world countries who are doing significant work with only 12 or maybe 5 people in their church. We love to be exaggerated in America. We praise the witty, we praise the clever, but be sure the lesson here is that even the smallest act, that guy in a different country with a little church doing his best, even giving a cup of water, will receive a reward. The insignificant in our congregation are not insignificant to Christ. He notices our attitudes towards other brothers, which is something that should change our perspective. Hierarchy in church and partiality toward the good-looking or the wealthy or the eloquent is not so with the Son of God. God chooses the weak. He chooses the not eloquent. Look at Moses. He couldn't even speak. We create things that Christ did not create. We must beware of this. We place men who Christ would not have placed. We pick them like they did King Saul, because he was handsome and tall. But we find him hiding behind the baggage. He's hiding. He's a coward. Who did God choose? David. The little kid out there who can wrestle a bear and a lion. We withhold reward and recognition from men and women who Christ will reward. We must not recognize the men and women who Christ will recognize. We must be on guard against partiality. We must see even those who give the cups of water. Don't oppose the seemingly insignificant. The Lord doesn't call them that. We must be level in our attitude of serving. And maybe you do a big part in a church. Maybe you do something that is very important. And it is necessary that we all take our opportunities to be a part of what we can be a part of. Slothfulness is not good. But we must be level-headed. And we must see that the smallest service for Christ is not unnoticed. So we cannot be crushing those around us. But we must serve out of love. Because our Lord never forgets any of his servants. And with this, let us have a happy Tuesday.